these words of Mark in this chapter 3, 7 to 12, are called a summary statement. They sort of sum up a whole dimension of our Lord's ministry. People coming to him, coming to him, coming to him, wanting to touch him, to be healed. And that's, you see, the mercy of God. That's still what we do when we come to the Eucharist. We have that one of the turning points in the letter to the Hebrews today. We finish a section, and then we begin another section. And so, remember, we're talking about this high priest who has gone through the heavens. And this text begins, see, he is always able to save completely. Why save completely? Because the word save can also mean heal. And it's not that he can just heal us now. He can heal us forever. This physical frame we have, this mental and emotional frame we have, it's wounded, it's weak. And to get over whatever, it's quite nice. But suppose that whole thing were just totally transformed. To live forever. That's the fruit of his cross. And it's he distributes the fruit of his cross to us. Every grace we receive is the result of a personal decision of Jesus Christ to give it to us. Every grace, 50, 100 a day, whatever, they all come, you see, from this personal decision of Jesus to do this for us. It's not just up there sort of like some great source of blessing, you know. This is personal. And that's what is being told us here, you see. He is able to save completely those who approach God through him, always living to intercede on their behalf. And I've said before, you see, part of that intercession is he changes us so that we can approach God. That's intercession. He doesn't have to ask God the Father, oh, be nice to them. They're, you know, the Father sent him. In the agony in the garden, he had to agree to the Father's will to go through with this for the salvation of the world. That's who the Father is. And so, such a high priest is fitting for us. And then you see, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, become higher than the heavens. He does not have need every day, as do the high priests, to first offer sacrifices for his own sins and then for those of the people. For the law establishes men as high priests who have weakness. The word of the oath, which is after the law, a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the oath is, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, which we were just looking at yesterday. And then we begin the central section and central argument of the letter. The main point, then, everybody, you know, this is a speech given, remember. This was a discourse, a sermon given, probably in one of the synagogues of Alexandria, to a Jewish Christian synagogue, you know. So he says, the main point, I'm here now, folks. I'm at the main point concerning what has been said. We have such a high priest who took his seat at the right of the throne. Notice, up to now, it has been, the Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit at my right hand. Now, he took his seat. He went where he belongs as the eternal Son of God incarnate, decorated with the wounds he received among us, which shine gloriously forever. He took his seat at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tent, which the Lord set up, not man. And then he starts to move on now to talk about how the old law, with all its wonder, beautiful mercy of God the Father, was to prepare us to understand, try to grasp. Every day we say yes, Almighty God's, you know, Almighty God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son became man among us to teach us, to heal us, and finally to die in torture and disgrace to save us from sin and give us eternal life. That's it. And so that's what we hold. That's our faith. And to just this time, preach it to yourself. Just say, do you know what you hold? Do you know what we're saying? Do you know that Jesus Christ is the eternal living Son of God? That he died out of an act of love in suffering of an incredible kind to set you free to be with the Father forever? See, that's what's going on.